Then we also have the third model, which is the Sheth, Newman, and Gross model of consumption values. Now, according to this model, there are five consumption values that influence the choice of a consumer. These are functional, social, conditional, emotional, and epistemic values. So five different values that may impact, drive, and influence the consumer behavior: functional, social, conditional, emotional, and epistemic values. Any or each of these five consumption values may influence the final decision of the consumer to choose a service company. Now, the first value, that's the functional value, is presumed to be the primary driver of consumer choice. So when a product or service has certain functional attributes and can meet the functional purpose of the consumer. So if you are trying to book a travel package, a vacation package, what are the functional attributes that you look for as a consumer? You're looking for a hygienic place to stay. You want the property or the hotel or the resort that you're staying at to have certain amenities, for example, a swimming pool, a game zone, or maybe you want the property to be within 2 kilometers of the beach. So there are some functional attributes. You want to have a good dining experiences. So the service provider here needs to first meet these functional attributes that a consumer is looking for. Once the brand, the provider can assure the consumer that these functional attributes can be taken care of, only then will the consumer pick the company over other competitors. The second value is the social value. Now, consumers purchase a service product where they can connect with it in terms of whether the product can enhance their social status. For example, an international vacation. A lot of your peers may take international vacation. You may feel left out, right? The FOMO feel, the fear of missing out. So you also want to travel and take an international vacation because you want to maintain a social status that, okay, if my friends have traveled, I'll travel too. So there's a social status, a social value of why you would choose a service. Same goes for products as well. But they're not much concerned with the characteristics. You just want to achieve that, use that service or product because that enhances your social value within your network, either your physical, close family and friends network, or maybe your network on the World Wide Web, on Facebook and Instagram. You want to post pictures of you relaxing on a beach in a foreign location, for example. We move on to the third value, which is the emotional value. Now, the emotional value refers to the emotions which a consumer obtains from the feelings caused by a selected product, which has an emotional value. Does using a service make me feel happier, for example? If I use a particular service, does it make me feel happier? That's an emotional value. I want to feel happy because I'm using a service. It goes for travel again. If I want to travel to an area where I could maybe indulge in some game activities and I want to feel happy, motivated, inspired to come back and break the stress of the work that I do back home, I'm looking for that emotional connect and value from my purchase. So can the provider understand the kind of emotional value I'm looking for? For example, buying an insurance, I need security. I need to feel secure that if something goes wrong or if something happens to me, my family is taken care of financially. So can the service provider address that emotional need of a consumer? Then we move on to the fourth value, which is the epistemic value. Now, epistemic issues refer to reasons that would justify the perceived satisfaction of curiosity, knowledge. You want to maybe learn something new, or maybe gain some new experience. You want to explore something very new. So can the provider do that? Can they provide you something very new, something different, something unexplored? For example, I may want to go and take a dance class, for example. I want to experience that. I want to learn something new. I want to explore something new. And I want to see how that influences me as a person. So that's the fourth value, which is known as the epistemic value. And then we have the conditional value. Now, in this, the perceived utility is acquired by an alternative as a result of a specific set of circumstances facing the choice. there are certain conditions that influence the decision of the customer to buy. It could be environmental or health conditions. For example, the pandemic. The pandemic, which has lasted for more than 2 years, has given certain conditions where you want to buy certain services. It could be health packages, doctor consultations. You want to sign up for certain preventive healthcare services. So there are conditions which are driving and influencing your decision. And as a marketing, as a service company, we need to understand what could be those conditional values or reasons or attributes that can drive and influence the decision of a consumer to make a purchase and choose a service or a category as a whole. Now let's look at the key factors which determine the trend in consumer behavior. Number one is psychological determinants. Now, these are emotions, desires, and motivations of a consumer. These determinants are so important that this drives the customers to either buy the service or buy a competitor's service product. So these are motivational buys. You've been really stressed at work. Everybody has been traveling, posting pictures, maybe on a beach in Goa or a mountain in Lonavala, and you want to really go out and break the stress. You want to break the chain and just need to take a vacation. So there's a motivation that you have. There's an emotion that's driving that need to buy. And you're going to buy either from one service provider or another. These are psychological determinants why a consumer may want to buy a particular service. So as a provider, you need to understand that and you need to address that. So can you really market vacations that relax you, rejuvenate you, and that you could use to target to maybe corporate employees who've been slogging at work and need a break? Then we have economic determinants. Now this aspect suggests the monetary scope. So can I really afford a service? That's again important. I may want something, but can I afford it? Is it something which really fits into my budget at this point of time? Or do I want to really save for this and maybe buy later? That will drive my want to purchase and my decision to purchase. Then we have sociological factors. Now these are aspects such as behavior, attitudes, and culture, and most importantly, the customer behavior in marketing or purchase decisions. So the social circle that I live in, the community, that defines the way, for example, the cultural aspects of a community or your target customer, what may appeal to them or what they may not want to experience. As a company, you need to understand that. So who are you targeting? Are you targeting maybe rural communities or tier 3 families? Are you targeting more modern, more urban, tier 1 families, families above a certain income level? Because the cultural, the social attitudes for these two groups are very different. So you need to understand the sociological determinants of your target consumers. Then there are some perceived risks in the service product. So what are these risks? Now the risk is perceived more on shopping online. There, the trust level is comparatively lower when a consumer wants to buy offline. For example, when you buy to an insurance advisor, the advisor may be known to you or may have been referred to you by somebody you know, or just the fact that you can see a person in flesh who's come to you, who talks to you. So the person seems more accountable. You can reach out to a person selling insurance to you. But when buying insurance online, it's faceless. You don't know who you are buying from. You're buying it from a website. So as a consumer, you perceive online shopping as a risk. That's another reason why when buying online products, for example, cash on delivery is a preferred mode of payment by a lot of customers, because they still perceive that there's a risk on buying online. Will they eventually get the product or not? That's a risk. Hence, they choose to pay cash on delivery. So online purchase comes with a risk perception for consumers. And this is due to the inability by customers to be able to check the service provider before they opt for it. One, the service is intangible. Second, it's online. You don't know who you are dealing with. So consumers perceive that there is ample risk in choosing to buy from it, buying online. So there are several risk factors such as non-delivery risks. This is particularly to products, but even in service sector, you may not be fulfilling the deliverables as a service provider, and it'll be difficult for the customer to get hold of the company because they're in different cities, different states, or even different countries, as a matter of fact. Then what are the financial risks, the return policies, the refund policies in case of services? Now, all these come under the scope of perceived risks in a service product. Then we have aspects which form the attitude in customers, understanding the customer attitude. Now, attitudes are usually associated with the feeling of liking or disliking someone or something. And this liking or disliking is to a great extent depends upon the beliefs, values, and opinions of a person. Now, these could be presumptive, right? You may have certain perceptions about a company or a service category. So even before you decide to buy, you think of buying, there are some preconceived notions that you have that create a bias or an attitude, as we would say. So attitudes usually predict behavior. My biases, my preconceived notions would influence my decision to buy from some provider or not. For example, if I want to have maybe a burger from a quick service restaurant, I have some quality perceptions about, say, a McDonald's. But if there's a new QSR brand, my perceptions about them may not be as high as a McDonald's. So do I choose to buy from McDonald's or do I choose to buy from this new QSR brand? I have a preconceived notion. And if somebody would have given me a bad reference about a new brand, that will stick with me for long. So I may not want to risk and go and buy from them. I would rather go to a trusted old provider. So these are preconceived notions. So what are some components of attitude? First, cognitive component. Now this consists of an individual's knowledge or perception towards few products or services through either personal experiences or related information from various sources. For example, I remember having burgers at Jumbo King when they launched as a new brand. My experience was not that great. But over the last few years, the brand has evolved, the quality has improved, and they have more options. But I stayed away from giving them a second chance for almost more than 7-8 years because I had a perception that they're not good enough. That's not value for money. I don't like the taste, so I did not want to try them. So it took a lot of coaxing from my other friend that, okay, they have changed, there are better options, so you should go ahead and try them again. But my perception, based on my personal bad experience, made me stay away from the brand for about a good 7 to 8 years. And during these 7 to 8 years, if somebody else would have asked me, hey, should I go to a Jumbo King for a burger? I would have said, no, they don't have good options. The quality is not good. So this is a cognitive component when it comes to a customer's attitude or behavior when deciding to buy. Then you have affective component. This consists of a person's feelings, sentiments, and emotions for a particular brand or product. Affection, so do I like or do I dislike? And then we have cognitive component. It's the person's intention or likelihood towards a particular product. Let's understand factors which influence the customers. Let's look at the characteristics of attitude. First, attitudes are predispositions. The consumer here has a view of a service which is already formed in his or her mind. As I said, the perception I had about, say, Jumbo King as a brand, this is a predisposition. It's a bias that has developed and that's now in my mind. It's not something which is a fact maybe, but it's a bias, it's a presumption. So attitudes are different from values. Values are the ideals, whereas attitudes are or could be the nature which is demonstrated by the consumer. So these are two different things. Attitudes are different from consumer values. Attitudes are evaluative statements. It reflects how the consumer feels about a service product. So how do I feel about a particular brand when it comes to quality, hygiene, efficiency, reliability, how much do I trust a service provider. So attitudes are evaluative statement. Attitudes influence human behavior. So the human behavior is highly influenced by a person's behavior. Now imagine a customer who has been impacted by his behavior due to his or her positive attitude or a negative attitude. For example, as I gave the example of Jumbo King. Now I was impacted by the negative experience I had. Now that kind of consumer, the consumer who has had a positive experience and hence has a positive attitude towards a brand is a boon to a marketer. It's easier to influence the person. It's easier to make them decide to buy from you again. However, if the negative attitude dominates a consumer, as in my case, again going back to the same Jumbo King example, there was a negative attitude. It makes the marketer's job difficult to influence me to make a buying decision. So attitudes influence human behavior either in or against a particular brand. Again, it could be service or it could be product. And attitudes have intensity. So in other words, if a consumer dislikes a service product, his or her dislike for that service product would determine the intensity of the consumer's attitude towards the service. Now, the intensity could be very high, as high that I start spreading the word about either good or bad about the service, the company and their quality, efficiency, or other attributes that we're looking for in a service. And attitudes are learned over time, learned by experiences, either our own experiences or shared experiences or what we read online or what we listen from family and friends. So now what are the factors which influence customers in their buying decisions? First, we have situational factors. So what are situational factors? Now marketing professionals try to ensure the customer buys more of their service than the consumers would have done so. Now this is done by creating a situation which facilitates and enables or encourages a customer to purchase a service even when they may not need it. So this is about persuading a customer, for example, persuading a customer to book a travel package. For example, you would have heard of companies spreading multi-year travel packages to consumers. The customer does not need it. He doesn't need a package for 10 years from now. But the companies or the marketers create a situation where the customer feels motivated or influenced to buy something which he or she does not need at the moment. These are situational factors that influence buying decisions. Then we have personal factors. Time, for example, the time of the day, time of the year, and how much time consumers feel like they must shop affect what they buy for. For example, in India, Diwali is the time of the year when people plan their purchase and go for buying products and services. Again, April to July may be a time when people want to evaluate tax filing software services and they buy from them. Jan to March are times when people want to understand investment options for tax saving. So they buy tax saving investment plans, either insurance services or mutual funds or any other such tax saving options. So time determines and influences the buying decisions of consumers. Then we have economic factors. The economic conditions of the country and the person determine the consumer buying habits. For example, if you hear in the news that the real estate industry is going through a bad phase, we may want to hold on to a decision to buy a new property because we've been hearing bad news about the sector and the economy as a whole. So we may just postpone our buying requirements. Again, social factors. So human being lives amongst people. As I said, there is a peer pressure that if our friends and families use certain premium products or certain services, for example, if your friend's child, if your neighbor's child has started using Byju's or Unacademy for their learning, you may feel pressured to get the same for your child, for an example. That's a social factor that influences a consumer to buy a certain service or product. So these are different influences and different models that marketers can use to understand the consumer behavior and what drives a consumer to make a decision to buy a service and buy from one provider over another. That's the end of chapter 4, which was all about the consumer behavior. Look forward to see you in the next. Thank you.